Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today about the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, it's so important for us to be able to see the truth about who we are in Jesus. Yesterday, I talked about from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the beautiful passage where St. Paul talks about that we bear a treasure, we carry this treasure, but we carry it in earthen vessels. And in times of struggle and difficulty, the frustrating and challenging times that we're living through right now, really deep, profound spiritual battles that are unfolding, that we're living in the midst of, that are very destabilizing, confusing, frightening, that it's very easy for our eyes to drop down from, as St. Paul says, you know, set your mind, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. There's the secret that Paul, Peter, all the apostles, saints have. Where do they draw their strength? Despite the fact that they're going oftentimes through so many difficult circumstances and trials and difficulties, there's a profound communion and unity and life source that they've found in God, in themselves. And they've laid hold of it, and they're surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit, and they really do experience, no matter what the circumstance, that they're moving from one degree of glory to the next. So I want to touch on that a little bit more today. Maybe the rest of the week, just stay with this theme, because it's so important for us. And before I do, I just want to remind you, if you didn't listen to yesterday's program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived right there. You can listen to them while you're there. I encourage you to browse around our new website. We've got all kinds of good YouTube videos, short ones, long ones. We've got many of the talks we've given over the last number of years. They're all there for free. You can access them. We've got free booklets, just a lot of helpful stuff there to help you and to strengthen you during this time of trial, that you can stay really in the heart of God's will and purpose for you. Because the devil's strategy is to knock us off track, to get us to be discouraged, to give up, to give in, to turn away. That kind of thing is always on his agenda. And this is a particularly challenging moment for us to stay clear and in the fight. And the Lord wants us to be able to thrive at a time like this, in a time of difficulty. So I thought it might be helpful. Oh, one other thing might be simplest of all. If you want to access our programs, you can download our app, the Renewal Ministries app, or the Ave Maria app. For my program, Sister Anne's programs, and the wonderful programs that Ave Maria puts out that are there as well to help you. And so I want to start with Paul today, who in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he's boasting a little bit about his life as an apostle. And he's talking about the false apostles who claim to be apostles. And he's talking about really the credentials that he has as an apostle. But I just wanted to want us to think for a minute about how easy it is to have a treasure stolen from us. Remember, the devil is a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. What he wants to do, the last thing he wants you to be able to do, is to lay claim and to live in, to live from your identity as a son and daughter of God. He wants to each day wake up. He's got all the tapes set. He just wants to hit the button. And so that you start hearing the lies throughout the day. You're an orphan, you're on your own, nobody cares, God's disappointed in you, your sins are going to triumph, your history defines who you are, you're never, you know, one thing after another, there's no hope for you. This is the nature of the battle. The devil's lies to try to seduce us, and what we need to do is to resist him and to combat it with the truth and make a decision, and it can be difficult to do. I mean, some mornings, it just, all you have to do is open, you know, the moment I open my eyes, all of a sudden, some days, as C.S. Lewis put it, at one point he said, it's like a herd of horses comes running at you. And the first thing you need to do is push them back. Especially important is the, you know, the habits of emotion or thought that lead to a downward spiral or discouragement or something, or an overwhelming fear of the circumstances of the day and what's happening in the culture. Maybe you went to bed, you know, watching the news just, you know, for 2 hours before you went to bed and had a night full of nightmares and woke up with anxiety and fear. The Lord wants us to set our minds on the Lord. So stand up, resist all that, give it to the Lord, and begin to remember who we are and the treasure that's within us. Now, you know, the apostles are great witnesses to almost the unlimited source of that treasure that they're able to draw on no matter what the circumstances of life are. And In fact, the circumstances of life, no matter how hard they are, in fact, even the harder they get, the apostles come to see that these are sources of great grace, even when they're suffering and the rest. Nothing in this world can take away our drawing nearer to God, to drawing strength from every circumstance. The Lord will use every circumstance in our life to help us grow deeper and deeper in our surrender and our commitment to Him. I think a few years ago, I told the story of Archbishop Tomkevičius from Lithuania. Really a hero of the faith. He was just made cardinal, I think, last year by Pope Francis. But during communist time, he ran an underground Catholic newspaper that they smuggled out, got out to Rome and other places to talk about the persecution that was happening to the church in Lithuania. Well, he was turned in by a KGB priest plant. So a priest brother collaborated with, the Russian Secret Service or whatever, and he turned him in. And they arrested him, and they sent him to the Gulag. I think he was there for 9 years. It might have been seven, but he was in the Gulag, which is a, concentration camp, basically, and miserable, miserable. And he was one of the first bishops I met in Eastern Europe when we started traveling there back in the early 90s. And I was struck by the joy that radiated from him. He's a strong, strong man in many ways, but he was very noticeable because of the joy and just the strength of his joy and the constant presence. And I asked him one day, I said, Bishop, you just seem so filled with the joy of the Lord. And after all that you've been through, he said to me, well, Peter, there's a secret. And I said, the secret is, he said, when my time in prison and the work camps, he said, Jesus was so close, I could smell his breath. He was like right there. And it was such a gift. And to be that close to him and for him to be that, he lived, the Lord comforted him in his trial and his difficulty. And he said it was the most precious time of his life, spiritually. And so what the devil meant as a negative for him, to get him out of the box, to get him out of the mission, and to put him away somewhere where he suffers and he's isolated, God meant for good. And the Lord worked in him, and the Lord touched him, and the Holy Spirit helped him see more and more the unsearchable riches of Christ, and he lived from them. And the Lord wants us to learn how to do that. And for us to be able to do it, he has to help us get to let go of, to be detached from, other sources that we're looking to satisfy us. Things that can't ultimately satisfy us, they can distract us, they can, give us some kind of momentary sense of satisfaction, but they can't produce the fruit, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. They can't produce the fruits of the Spirit. They can't produce that communion that alone gives us security, peace, confidence, trust, fearlessness, courage, all the things are part of Jesus' character that he wants to produce in us. So I'm thinking of St. Paul as he's boasting about his own work as an apostle. He says, 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. So 5 times he was whipped with the lash, 39 times. He said, 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. A night and a day, I've been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is this daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. How about that? Those are the credentials. That's the record of his apostleship, what he lived through. Now, that listing, that experience is so far beyond anything the vast majority of us have ever experienced or probably ever will experience. And sometimes I just meditate on that and I think about the life that Paul lived. And Peter and others. And I'm amazed by how the more they experience, the more pushback, the more struggle, the more difficulty, the imprisonments and the rest, the more they're united to Christ, and they find Jesus right in the midst of it. You know, there's this teaching when I've heard a number of times when people teach on the charisms, like spiritual gifts that you have, let's say a gift of evangelization. When someone's exercising the spiritual gift they've been given, they feel very much alive and animated and in communion with the Lord in a deeper way. It's a little bit like Eric Little from the Chariots of Fire movie years ago, that sprinter who said, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." He was the most gifted, you know, sprinter in the world, and God gave him that, and he loved to run. He said, "Because when I run, I feel his pleasure." He felt the presence of God in what he was doing, and the Lord loves to do that. I mean, I've experienced that sometimes in preaching or teaching. It's just like I get done with a talk, and I go, "Wow, man, the Lord was really present, and he was helping me, and I just felt his presence in a unique way." And the Lord does that so that we keep coming back. He wants to reinforce it and wants us to step in and to exercise those gifts more and more because he wants us to participate in his great mission. And the apostles do express something very similar. And even though they live through great trials, in the midst of those trials, they experience deep communion in their isolation, deep communion in their poverty, deep communion in the abuse that they're taking, that the Lord is really present. And he wants us to know that there's not a circumstance in our life where he won't be there for us. You know, was it Corrie Ten Boom said, "There's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." But we don't know that until we're there and we experience it. One of the downsides and the challenges of living in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, living in what the rest of human history would just be mind-boggling kind of comfort and prosperity, it's easy for us, friends, to gather to ourselves things that create comfort and security and protection and distraction, and to multiply those things. And at a time like this, when there's a shaking of the nations, when we feel out of control, when the economy is up and down and who knows where it's going to be going in the days ahead, when our political system is shaking, and you can see much of it, that kind of disruption across the nations, it is meant to shake us and wake us up and to not be content to find our safety and our security and our comfort and our hope in things that we produce for ourselves. The Lord knows, and the apostles found, as Paul did when he was imprisoned, when he was beaten, when he really walked in the footsteps of Jesus, the deeper the trial, the stronger his presence. The deeper the suffering, the deeper the communion. If we walk with him, we don't have to be afraid of anything, friends. You do not have to be afraid of tomorrow. You do not have to be afraid of the future in any way, shape, or form, no matter what the circumstance, because the Lord's going to meet you there, and the Lord's going to reveal himself, and he's going to show himself that he literally is the fulfillment of the deepest longing of your heart, and he alone can satisfy you. We have nothing to be afraid of. He is true, he is faithful, and he wants us to embrace him with all our heart now. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.